Before we get started with the next segment, what marketing questions do you have? Your question is?
You mentioned on the Roundtable Facebook page that people got emails when you did an update on the page, and I don't know how to do that.
Neither do I. But one of these girls back here knows how to do that. It's a setting. Okay. Yeah. And their settings allow emails from when somebody posts to the group. Okay, next question on marketing. How can we add value to you? Matthew.
When you spoke earlier about, you know, the send out card and the brownies and stuff, do you guys set an actual budget each month of what you're going to spend on those types of things? Or is there, how much does that end up being a part of your marketing?
Yes, we do have a specific budget for that. It is a line item. And in my opinion, typically a small business should be investing about 10% in marketing if you're doing referral marketing and client-based marketing and things like that to grow at a steady clip, because you're going to want to invest some money entertaining people, marketing to your past clients and things like this. Companies that are that generate a lot of direct business through traditional advertising, they might have bigger budgets. Like they might invest 20%, but then they spend less on, unfortunately, on technicians and things like that. But yes, we take our whole marketing budget and then we put specific line items. But I think like Phenomenal Products only spends about 6% on marketing right now, believe it or not. And I don't know how much we're investing in marketing right now at our service company. I don't recall the percentage. One of the other guys might know. Leakey might know, but yeah.
Thank you.
But yeah, budget it all out.
Thanks, Howard.
Yep. Couple more questions. How are y'all doing over here? It's kind of weird. You know, we did the the non-member section, and because we took the wall down, it's like all these guys that aren't part of the community. Yeah, some of them are. Some of you guys probably joined up already. But it's like we just like did the wall. It's kind of like y'all can mingle if you want to. You feel like part of the group? Okay, good, 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 good. If y'all need some people to come over here and hug on you, we got plenty of people that are willing to do it. So, by the way, do y'all think that they should join y'all? Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
I use send out cards at your recommendation with every single client, and it's gold. So thank you
good.
For that.
You bet.
My marketing question was, I've used the 10% off and 10% off a referral before. I've been using it since the last time we had a deal, but I almost get no referrals. It's way less than 1%. I've had probably almost 600 clients, and I think I've had 5 referrals. So what would you suggest that I use to try to get more referrals, because that's really not working?
Yeah, what I would suggest, first of all, thank you for that.
I own a pressure washing business.
Right, yes, I know. Okay. So the first thing is understanding that when we talk about the referral reward program, we don't do 10% off just to make sure that everybody understands how it works. Is when you refer a new client to us that's not a repeat client, then we pay a 10% referral reward in the form of a certificate of whatever they spend, just to make sure that we're doing it right, okay? And so that person gets that referral reward. So the question is, if we're not getting referrals, first of all, people are not going to refer you because they get a referral reward. You reward them because they referred you. They're going to refer you because they know you, like you, trust you. So what I would recommend that you do, which is a great idea for everybody here to do, is to do a client survey. All right, do a client survey, and you're going to ask them, you know, how they felt about the service, were we on time, and you could maybe even make it appear that it's coming from an outside company or even have an outside company send it for you so that they'll really give you the information, right? And they might give you feedback that you're looking for. They might just not remember to refer. And maybe it's what we actually send in the send-out card. So there's a lot of variables there. But that's the first thing I would do, is make sure that they're satisfied with the service experience. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If I have a telecommunication company, I don't really have anything like free to give them. So what would you recommend? It's more of a central office telecommunication, you know, that type of thing. It's not really like iPhone type stuff. So.
Okay. What problem, let's stay with this for a second. What problem does your target market have? What do they need to understand? What do they not know that they need to know?
Well, they need to know that we can help them with the repair.
Need to know about your industry.
Okay.
What's the problems? What are your competitors doing or not doing that either frustrate the customer or that the customers are frustrated with or that they don't know?
I think we help with the lead times. We cut down the lead times. We can offer new, used, and refurbished. As well as, we can help them get rid of all their equipment by just doing a consignment deal where they can just send it in. They don't have to spend a lot of time, money, and effort on
that. What's the cost factor in choosing the wrong company for what you do? In other words, if I choose the wrong company in your industry, what does that cost me in time, money, and energy?
Well, it could be thousands. But I don't know exactly.
Okay. And how could it cost me thousands of dollars?
Well, if you get something that doesn't work, you send something in for repair, and you go ahead and put it in your network, and it brings the whole system down. It could be millions.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Right.
Okay. Because you're helping businesses, right?
Right.
And the lifeline to a business is what? Telephone. You can't afford any downtime. You can't afford for the system not to work. So you want to have a steady stream of education on phone etiquette, on what's happening in the industry, what you say and don't say on the phone, what the best phones are out there, the problems in service in the industry. And if you come up with just 12 subjects, you have a whole year marketing campaign on a monthly basis, right? That would be along the lines that I'm thinking.
Okay.
Does that give you some ideas?
Yep, thank you.
So what you want to do is create, it doesn't have to be a free service or free product. It can be free information. It could be a video. It could be an audio program. It could be one of the things that John Michalidis did. John, how's your WOW package doing now? Still doing well?
Yeah. It gets... we created a book.
Why don't you give him the microphone? This is a good example right here. Tell him what you do also.
So residential property management, real property management of Sarasota and Manatee. Sarasota and Manatee counties, Florida, we do annual rentals on behalf of the owners. We manage their rental properties. So the big pain for prospective clients of ours is crappy property management. Property managers that just do a horrible job. So the conversation in their head is, I'm picking a number, $200,000 property, I'm going to turn it over to someone that I don't know, and it's going to get destroyed. So that's the conversation in their head. So I have to enter the conversation that they're already having and preemptively answer everything they're thinking could happen. So that's the backdrop. So I created a book, Consumer's Guide to Hiring the Right Property Manager for You, which is basically a 63-page sales letter. It's not a book like a novel. It's a 63-page sales letter where I go through all of the horrible things that could happen to you and your property, the way most property managers work, and then I pepper in the right way to do it is da-da-da-da-da-da, and of course that's the way we do it, but I'm not selling in that. It's just a litany of
horror stories and such, and the right way to do it. So, bam, they're seeing, wow. Now we have five free, so it's in a shiny blue, it's a metallic shiny blue foil envelope, this big, letter size. So, and it's lumpy. So in this envelope, they get the book, Consumer's Guide to Hiring the Right Property Manager for You. It's $2 a copy for a real paperback book. It's nothing. Shiny, glossy cover. They get 5 one-page reports, such things as maintenance issues, tenant screening issues, that kind of thing. They get a book. They get 5 free reports. They get 2 audio CDs. One's of a radio interview I did locally that I put it on CD and I send it out. And another one are testimonials. So I called up 5 of my best clients and said, would you mind doing a 3 to 5 minute phone conversation that we record? So I've got this 22-minute CD of owners saying how fabulous we are and I wouldn't put my property anywhere else. And they're just gushing. I'm not saying anything. Hardly. So they're getting 2 audio CDs. They're getting a book. They're getting 5 reports. And then they're getting our price. And there's an envelope inside there that says only open. It says, do not open unless you're seriously considering hiring a property manager now or in the near future. So they open the main envelope, and they get the book, and they get the 2 CDs and the 5 reports, and there's no selling. It's all just educational. And then there's envelopes saying, and it's sealed, and it's thick. It says, do not open unless you're seriously considering hiring a residential property manager now or in the near future. So if they open that, they have given me permission to sell to them because they don't have to. They could throw it right in the garbage. So now they open that, and there's my pricing matrix, my service plans, all of that
and
stuff.
And John, so what, briefly... What were their results?
Forget it then. Forget it.
But, let Tracy hold the mic, okay?
My mic. Mine.
Briefly, what was the difference between what you were doing before and the sales closings after you've took? Because you've been testing this for a couple of months now.
Yeah, we're getting of every package. I have to still crack the code of how do I get lots of people requesting the package.
Right,
but we're getting right now about 30% of the people that get the package. That's a 30% conversion rate of becoming a client. A client means $7,000 in my pocket.
And before you're getting 30% now. And now, how much were you getting before?
5.
Okay, so give Tracy the mic. Okay. So what we're talking about is a 25% what we're talking about is a, is it 600%? 400, 500%, somewhere between a 400 and 500% increase in closing because he's offering a free info pack, all right? So you can offer a free info pack. So if you take a look at what your average spend is with a client, okay, it's probably several $1,000s in this case, right? They want to make the right decision. So what you want to do is offer them an experience where they can be educated, all right? Now, what I might want to do is I might want to make that in person, okay? Because really the thing is that you can literally get someone to ask you to come in and do a sales presentation. But you don't call it a sales presentation. You call it a free evaluation, a free consultation, a free lunch and learn, a free workshop, a free sample, a free trial, whatever the case is. It's going to be different for every business, but it doesn't have to be the actual service. It could be an info pack, could be a workshop, and this is something that we really want to work out because it's key to attracting more prospects and closing more sales. Yes or yes? Did you get some value out of that? Okay. All right. I want to demonstrate the difference between marketing and sales with you. We were in the market to get a new car for our son, and we knew exactly what kind of car we wanted. We wanted to get a Honda. This is what he wanted. And so it was my job to go and find this car. And it's a Saturday, and Denise says, I need you to go find that car today, and let's get that off of the honey-do list. Well, if you know me, the only thing I want to do on Saturday is think, write, pray, plan, do all my stuff, and spend some time sitting out in the sun, and I don't want to go anywhere. In fact, you're going to have to set off an explosion to get me out of my house on a Saturday. But when Denise gives you orders, what do? So I get on the Honda website. Guess what they have? They've got an opt-in. I don't remember what it said. But whatever it said, I put in my cell phone number, and it says, we're going to call you in less than 3 minutes. Stay by your phone. I'm like, I got to just test this to see if it's for real. I don't believe it, right? So I put my cell phone number in. Sure enough, the cell phone starts vibrating in about 2 minutes. Pick it up. Nice young lady at the Honda dealership. And I don't remember what was in the sales script, but somehow she convinced me to come down there to that dealership that afternoon like they were going to run out of Hondas or something. I find myself walking into that dealership. And what unfolded before me had nothing to do with a sales presentation. It had nothing to do with the way it should be done. In fact, they made it hard to buy. They didn't have their act together. They didn't ask me good questions. I did buy a brand spanking new Honda, but I didn't buy it from them. Great marketing, not so good, or really actually terrible sales. All right, so sales is everything that you do to convert prospects into your paying customers. I believe this is in your book. Phenomenal sales delivers a meaningful experience that, watch this, engages, educates, and entertains. This is what I call the three E's of experience. If you want to create an experience, it's got to be engaging. It has to educate in this sense and entertain. All right? So, can I ask you some questions? First question is, what is one thing that the salespeople at this car dealership could have done to engage me? They could smile. What else? They what? Have a greeter, right. Borrow from Walmart.
They needed to integrate that nice young lady on the phone to set an appointment to meet Jim.
Yes. In fact, I asked for the young lady. No, you can't talk to her because she's in the internet marketing department. Oh, so I got to deal with you. Okay. So one thing they could do, one thing you could do is ask for their name. How many of you have heard that Dale Carnegie said that the sweetest music and or the sweetest sound to any human being in any language is the sound of their own name? And I was talking to Brian about this. I think we already talked about this. But the fact is that everywhere I go, I ask people their name. I'm genuinely interested in them. I'm interested in their story, but I also know that I get better service when I ask them their name. I also know that in sales, and the crazy thing is that just by asking someone their name, like, they just like light up. It's crazy. And in sales, you don't want to overuse it, but ask them their name, and that's one way that you can engage with them. All right? Now, what if they use DISC? Which corner am I in? What's my profile? I'm a D. Especially on a Saturday when I don't want to be there, I'm like all D, high D, nothing but D, right? So what I want to do is I want to, if I'm recognizing this guy's walking fast, talking fast, he's in a hurry, guess what I'm going to do? Ask, that's right. Ask quick questions. In fact, why don't we talk while we walk? That's music to a D's ear right there. Why don't we talk while we walk? All right, so you're looking for a Honda, yes. So you know what you're looking for, yes. This is what I'm looking for. Finance is no issue. It's no issue whatsoever. If they knew what they were doing, they could have upsold me very easily. Oh, so what made you pick that car? Oh, that's interesting. By the way, great car, great choice. Stroke the D. I'm just saying. But do you know about this model that has all of that plus some? It's better. Does the D want the best? Of course he wants the best. Could have upsold me just like that. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. I'm telling you. I got that one from Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. All right. Now, if I could teach you one thing about sales, about engaging people, it's the power of the question. How many of you have heard that selling ain't telling, is it? Do you understand the power of asking questions? Selling ain't telling. Ask a lot of questions. If you ask the right questions, you ask enough questions, then the fact is that they will sell themselves. If you have the right prospect and if you spend enough time getting to know them. So you guys sell mattresses, right? I mean, I can just ask a whole series of questions and I can get that customer to buy that mattress, buy the mattress that they want, and just by asking questions. People say no because you don't know enough, because you haven't asked enough questions. Selling ain't telling. All right? So then I educate. See, I shared with, in this situation, hey, there's another vehicle, got all the same features that you're looking for and everything, but it's a little bit better, you know, or whatever the case might be. I can educate them. By the way, so how old is your mattress? And, okay, what are you looking for in a mattress? Okay. And so just out of curiosity, how did you come to that conclusion? Questions. So you're looking for a telephone system. Tell me what you're experiencing. So what's going on there? And why are you looking? Oh, tell me more about that. The more you tell, the less you sell. The more they tell, the more you sell. So it's all about asking good questions. All right? So I can educate them. Then the guy could have said, you know, I can tell that you're in a hurry. And all I need is name, signature, social security number. You know, let's talk about financing or whatever. What are you looking for there? Ask me a few questions. Look, just no problem. Write a check, whatever it is. Great. If you want financing, all's I need, really. How many of you know that really all's a car dealer needs is your name and your social security number and your driver's? That's all they need. The only reason they go through all this other stuff is to try to sell you a bunch of stuff. Okay?
That you don't want.
That you don't want or maybe don't need. Okay, now, so get you a drink. Here's a place you can use a computer and you know, I'll take care of everything. All I need is a signature. Or how about this? Here's what I would do. I would say, you know, Mr. Partridge, I understand that you got a lot of work to do. You're a busy guy and you'd rather be home. I'm getting the feeling you'd rather be home doing your thing on a Saturday afternoon. I don't blame you. So why don't we do this? We'll go ahead and write everything up. If I need you, I'll call you. We already got your cell phone number. And once we get everything done, we'll deliver the car to you. I don't care if I got to hire somebody part-time to ride over there with me to deliver that car. I want to deliver that car. Well, I don't want to deliver the car. What's that?
It means they bought it.
They are, I already bought it. I want it in the driveway, but there's a reason I want to go to the house. They might need another car. Who else needs a car, huh? Yeah, so I want to find out about their life. I want to find out who they know. I want to find out where they work. I want to find... I get to spend more time with a brand new customer, and guess what? I'm hoping the neighbors are just getting home from work so they can show off this new car. And I can ask them some questions.
And secure a referral.
Mm-hmm. Guess what? Talk about social media. What's going to happen next? You wouldn't believe. I went to the Honda dealership. I'd be telling you a different story right now. You wouldn't believe it. I went to this Honda dealership, and man, it was amazing. They just asked me all these questions. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And then they delivered the car for me. It was crazy good. I'm posting that on Facebook. I'm taking pictures of the thing. I'm marketing for the guy. That's what you want to do. That's an experience. That's entertaining someone is serving them. Thank you. Huh? Do what others won't do. Do what others ain't even thought about doing. I was talking to my son the other day, and I apologize if I already told you guys this story, but I told somebody this story the other day. I think I was teaching a webinar or something like that. Yeah, it was our leadership group on Mondays. And my son is waiting tables, and we just got in a discussion. I'm a marketing guy. I got ideas. And I said, you know, I used to be a waiter, and I've thought about this a lot. And if I was waiting tables again, what I would do is I would pick the restaurant that I want to work at, and I would go and ask them if I could rent a section from them, and I would get my own customers and bring them to that restaurant through marketing. He said, that's the craziest idea I've ever heard in my whole life. To which I responded, can I ask you a question? I said, how much do I get paid to consult business people? He knows the answer to that. He said, $10,000 a day. I said, how many people have I helped be successful in business and sales? He said, a lot. I said, what restaurant owner in their right mind wouldn't want new customers? So you're telling me that if I go to a restaurant owner that has some sense and tell him that every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, I'm going to bring you 10 new tables, they're not going to listen to me? And by this time, he's like, I get your point. Now, it's a crazy idea. You got to be good at marketing, but guess what? He's already good at marketing. He's marketing his music. He just dropped an album yesterday. He knows the phenomenal product system. He knows it. He uses it. All he's got to do is start using it in his, become a freelance waiter, for crying out loud. I mean, seriously, you don't have to pay rent on a restaurant. You don't have to have any staff. What business owner wouldn't say, yeah, I'd love to have some new clients? And how about this? How many of you would like to have your own private waiter? Right? Seriously, I would. I mean, I want a guy that, right, Charles? Listen, I want my own private waiter. Like, I don't go to the restaurant, try to get a reservation. I call my guy, here's the table that I want, here's how many people are coming, and they take care of it. Right? It's not such a bad idea, is it? This is how you revolutionize the restaurant industry. So maybe we need to, like, start a business for waiters. But anyway, it's just an idea. Okay. All right, so a phenomenal sales system is a group of working parts that duplicates results consistently. What is selling? What isn't selling? Remember, nothing happens in a business until a sale is made. Healthy sales cure all other business evils. We covered that a minute ago. Sales isn't something that you do to someone. Sales is something you do for and with someone. Here's a very important thing that you got to understand about sales. You're both on the same side. In fact, when you're selling in person, don't sell like this. When you're looking at an agreement or a brochure or whatever, get on the same side as them. Remember that you're on the same side. You're helping them get what they want. That's what sales is. Did you know that the Latin word for sell is to give or to serve? Did you know that? My good friend Bob Berg wrote a book called The Go-Giver, and it's all about serving people. And he wrote a sales book called The Go-Giver Sales or something like that. The root word is to serve. When you're selling, you are serving. You are helping them get what it is that they want. I wanted a car. And the fact is that people only buy things for two reasons. There's only two reasons people buy stuff. Number one, they have to. What's a good example of that? What's that?
Washer breaks down. Dishwasher, or the washer.
Dishwasher, okay. He owns a restaurant. By the way, do you like my idea?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, he likes that idea. What else is he going to say? I mean, he's got all these people in the room. Brian, like, he's going to find me in the hallway and going to be like, man, that's a terrible idea. Don't tell anybody I told you that. But. All right, so what's something you have to buy?
Car insurance.
You don't have to. You should. Soap, you definitely should. Food, yeah, or otherwise you're going to die, right? Healthcare, plumber.
Gasoline,
if you want to get somewhere. Now, I don't know why, but people always say toilet paper, so this is a good audience that you didn't say that. Thank you very much. I just did. What about the want to? Okay, what are some things that you would like to buy if you were in a position to buy it? Maybe you don't have to, but what are some of the things we buy because we want to buy them?
New Harley.
What else? Boat.
Vacation home.
Yeah. Plenty of stuff we want to buy, huh?
Island.
An island. I love that. I want an island. I want my own island. Okay. So listen, you need to understand in your business. Let's go back to the bride for a second. People only buy because of the fear of pain or the hope of gain. To avoid pain or to get gain. And you need to know in your business which it is. And sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's both. With the telephone systems, fear of pain. Man, my phones are going to be out. I'm going to have problems. Fear of pain. And in marketing, you need to capitalize on that. Because how many of you know, I could say, hey, you could grow your business, that's nice, but you're going to lose business, that's better. You're going to have a problem if you don't do something, that's way more powerful than, hey, you might be comfortable. How many of you know that people don't buy stuff when they're comfortable? And sometimes you have to help them be more uncomfortable because maybe they don't realize the pain that's coming. Or the gain that could be there. So people only change through desperation or inspiration. That's the only reason they buy stuff too. Okay? Zig said that selling is essentially a transference of feelings. And I developed a 7-step sales process that goes like this. It's on the Inner Circle site. In fact, we did a whole course on this where we break down each and every step. But I want to give it to you to make sure that you understand it and that you're using it. Number one. Establish rapport. This is in your book. Establish rapport. Number two, connect with their emotional state. Number three, build credibility. Number four, identify the problem. Number five, outline the solution. Number six, share the investment. Number seven, overcome objections. So can I ask you some questions? When you start a sales presentation, wouldn't it be a good idea to establish some rapport by calling them by name, by asking them some questions, finding out, a little bit about them, about common interests. Wouldn't it be a good idea to understand what their emotional state is, whether they're buying out of the fear of pain or the hope of gain, and understanding, like the bride, what the overarching emotion is? Would that be a good idea? Could you have a statement that connects to that? Like, what if you had a statement like, glad you called us, glad you were referred by Brian, because the fact is that most people who come to us have this issue or problem. And then what if, step three, you had a 60-second commercial, five-point marketing message that established credibility, built credibility, all right? And then what if, after that, you ask a lot of questions to really understand their problem? How many of you know that every single person who buys something has a problem? Would you agree that a guy who has 12 cars that's looking at another car, that even though it may not be a problem to you, it's a problem to him? He might have 12 cars, but he doesn't have that one, right? And then how many of you know that you need to lead with need? That if I start giving the solution, I might be giving the solution to the wrong problem, right? But even when I give the solution, how many of you know that you need to ask confirming questions? Is that what you're looking for? Does that sound like what you're looking for? Does this look like what you're after? And how many of you know if you get them saying yes, 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 that when you quote the investment, they're likely to say yes? How many of you noticed that I used the word investment instead of price? What's the difference? Return on investment, right? When you pay a price, your money's gone. That's a cost. When you invest, you're going to get a return on that investment. So use the word investment. And when you quote the investment, don't say another word. How many of you have heard that the first one to speak after the investment is quoted is usually the one who buys? So in other words, for you, that means no sale. If they speak first, then they're probably going to own that car, they're going to own that product, right? Now, some of these guys who have been hanging around us for a long time, like Daryl Thomas right here, went from like zero to $1.5 million a year, and then he sold one of his divisions for $400,000 cash, and then he became this international business consultant, travels to Germany and back, and he did it all using these simple processes. And you got people all over the room that you need to connect with and find out what, and they just use these simple processes. John Torres is another one. Went from zero to $11 million using these very systems. And the man is a phenomenal student. I mean, this man uses the program. So I was flying over to Tennessee. It was an early flight. And there was fog in Tennessee. I couldn't land. They diverted us to Greenville, South Carolina. And this particular airline did not have a terminal or a gate in that particular airport. But for an emergency or whatever, they could pull in, use the gate. But they said, don't go through security because you won't be able to get back in. So I'm stuck in the gate area, can't go through security, can't do anything, so I'm going to just sit there and work. John Torres happened to call me, and he's been a phenomenal student for many, many years. And at the time, we were talking about doing a leadership program together, and we're talking about some ideas and this and that. He calls me on my cell phone, said, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting here waiting for a flight, told him the story. He said, who are you with? I said, I'm not with anybody. I'm just sitting here. I'm traveling by myself. He said, well, let's talk about this project. And I said, okay. So we talk about the project. Finally, he comes down to us and said, okay, well, John, what's my investment going to be for that? And he goes, $30,000. He didn't say a word because he knows the program. And I know the program. I'm his coach. I can't say anything. So I didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. And I'm a D, and I'm sitting there going, say something. And I know John Torres. He ain't going to say anything because I will never, ever let him forget it. What am I going to do? You got to be creative. So here's what I did. I'm looking around thinking, what can I do here? And I see these people boarding this airplane over here. And I walk up to this guy, and I put it on mute real quick. And I said, sir, I promise this is not any kind of scam or anything like this. I just need you to say something, anything, into my cell phone. Would you do that for me? I mean, just one word. That's all I need. I took it off of mute and hit the speakerphone. The guy goes, hello? Thank you. John goes, sold! And I go, that wasn't me. I thought you were alone. I am. Well, who was that? I said, I don't know who he is, who he was, but he's on airplane now, some stranger. He must have laughed for 30 minutes. Every time he thinks about it, he laughs. Every time I think about it, I laugh. But that's called being serious about the program. I'm telling you, I've sat there on the phone with people. I've sat there in front of people. The amazing thing is, they might say yes. So be quiet. Don't say anything. Sip it. If they don't say yes, maybe there's an objection that you didn't overcome during the presentation. And maybe you need to overcome the objection. So, what's the very best way to overcome an objection? Yeah, always, always, always ask a question. All right, so I'm going to give you five ways to do this, but always put it in the form of a question. By the way, what kind of objections do you guys get? Price is too high. What else? Not ready yet. Talk to my husband. Competitors lower. Okay. So when you're first practicing this, you'll get other questions after a while, but teach your people. And when you're first practicing this, just start like this. Here's a simple, dimple, easy way to start. Just repeat whatever they said in the form of a question and just play ping pong with them. Just toss the ball back into their court. So as you say is, so the price is too high? Oh, so you want to talk to your husband? So the competitor had a lower price? You just repeat the objection in the form of a question. So what do you think might happen then? The more they tell, the more you... They might just say, yeah. Then you say, do you mind telling me a little bit more about that? Can I share with you that I'm here to help you whether we do business together or not? Do you understand that that's the reason that I'm here? I want to just help you make the best choice. Is that okay? So then what we can do is we can first review the value. Number one. Number two is review any payment options that we might have. Number three, change the scope of the order. Number four is the free trial offer. And number five is the referral program. All right, so here's how it works. If you use the seven-step sales process, you have established some value, you've asked a lot of questions, and you can say something like, you know, Ms. Jones, we talked about working with a company that has a great reputation, that's experienced, that will educate you, treat you right, whatever the values are that you've shared with them. And is it really important for you to work with a company like that? Yes. So all the things that we talked about in how we're going to process your project, are all those things important to you? Well, sure. Because they've said yes all along. Do you mind if I ask you a question? How likely is it that a company at a lower price is going to be able to really deliver on all of that? Now, that's a good question. Because it makes them doubt what the other company might offer. And if you're bold enough and you have the right relationship, depending on the product or service, you might say, what do you think they are leaving out? Hopefully not something very important to you. What do you think other credit card processors, processing companies are leaving out or not telling you?
Additional fees?
Yeah. Okay. Number two, so Brenda, so understand that the investment is an issue, all right? If you were able to make the investment with no problem right now, would the answer be yes? Yes, she said yes. Okay. How much would you be able to put down today if we could work out a payment plan for you?
Probably about half of what you're asking.
Okay. So if your cost of doing business is 50% and you get 50% down, then you're not going to lose any money if they don't pay the rest of it, right? At least you're not going to lose any money. How many of you accept credit cards? Did you know that we accept all major credit cards? Would it help you if I could do an installment program for you? What if you put half down today and we do half in 30 days? How would that be? They're just questions. I'm just helping them buy. That's all I'm doing. Okay? And then number three might be change the scope. All right? So what if we did just this part of the project right now, we did the rest of it later, if there's a way that you can break up the project. So you're not lowering your price, you're just settling for a lower ticket item right now. Does that make sense? Okay. What do you think is going to happen when you go through this process? Well, you might find the real objection, but also they might just say, you know what? Let's just go ahead and do it, because what you're showing them is you're helping them, all right? And instead of just lowering your price, you know, the thing is that you lose credibility when you just lower the price. Well, why don't you quote me that price to start with? So you have to have something to attach, if you're going to lower the price, something to attach it to. Otherwise, you want to do, you know, payment options. The free trial offer is awesome. You know, Isaiah, I really believe that you're going to love this, and what I'd love to do, if you're open to it, is really show you what we can do. Would that be okay? I mean, because I've already asked a question. He doesn't need it right away. He's not, like, in a desperate situation. So I'd like to do a free workshop for you and your team, to just kind of show you what we could do. Would that be all right?
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Could we have a phone call and talk a little bit further about this? Sure. So whatever my free trial offer is, I've got a wow package that I'd like to leave with you. Can I call you back in a couple of days? When they see that you're trying to help them, they are likely just to say yes. Because some people don't say yes because there's an unknown fear. They don't even know why they don't want to say yes. Some of you guys are thinking about membership. You got fear about that and you don't even know why. It's okay. We all have that. All right. Referral program. Mrs. Jones, do you know about our referral reward program? No, what is that? Well, we offer a 10% referral reward program for any new client that you send us. And when you send us 10 clients that are doing just what you're doing today, you'll get all your money back. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, let me go ahead and put that on a credit card. I know plenty of friends. Thank you very much. So use those five things. They really do work. Okay? All right, and the most profitable sale ever made is the? Is the upsell. Why is it the most profitable sale ever made? Because you're already there. You've already invested the time, the money, and the energy to acquire. How many of you know it takes time, money, and energy to acquire a new client? Right? You've already invested most of the time, money, and energy, and they have other needs. But the fact is that most small business owners and most salespeople don't do a good job of upselling. Would you agree with that? Why do you think that is?
Fear.
That's right, fear. Isn't that amazing? I put it in the PowerPoint without even touching it, okay? I mean, my people are quick over there. What do you think the second reason might be? Time. Is this on your handout? You guys just know the material, don't you? What do you think the third reason might be? Haven't been trained to sell. Your people haven't been trained to sell. They haven't been trained in the value of upselling. And I would like to prove to you right now that not upselling your customers is doing them an injustice. In fact, I'll do one better for you. I'm going to have you convince me that it's an injustice. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Does everything that you offer have benefit to the customer?
Yes.
So what you're really saying is that if you don't tell me about it, that I'm not getting the benefit of the product, correct? How many people in here have a phenomenal reputation? You know what you're doing. You really deliver for your customer. I hope that's everybody here. Well, then I'm not getting the benefit of working with you. Are all your competitors as reputable as you are, or do you have unscrupulous competitors like everybody else does? All right. So what you're telling me is that you're allowing me to be taken advantage of by the competition because you didn't tell me you had this product or service. Yes or yes? Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Yeah, training builds confidence. If you guys will go back one slide, Santi, Alexandra. Training builds confidence, and people don't sell because they have fear. They don't understand why they're selling, and that's why you want to take all your salespeople through our sales training on the Inner Circle website. And if you're not there yet, you need to go through that yourself. Okay? All right, so the reason we took a break out of sequence a while ago is because my team, is that the one you wanted, Michael?
Yeah, that's good. I got it.
My team shared some news with me a while ago that we're going to have to change our schedule. Apparently, there's a giant meteor heading for Houston right now. Just kidding. I know, right? That was like totally random, right? It is like 5:25. What's that? And we're just now telling you, yeah, that was like an hour. That's good. That's like an hour ago, you know. It's like, it's not traveling very fast. You know, we're able to slow it down a little bit, you know. That was totally random. But you know what reminded me of that? Have you ever seen the movie Rat Race? Anybody seen the movie Rat Race? Yeah. So, anyway. If you haven't, watch it, and you'll get the joke. Okay, so the deal is that our next presenter, we're going to have a bonus session at 5:15 or whatever it was, cannot be here, and we'll be in the morning instead of this evening. And the reason is that I was the one involved in the scheduling. And if we had a system, I didn't use it. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes. So.
Nothing works the first time or two.
Right. So we never do conferences like this. We've been doing these 4 years. We always do them Thursday through Saturday. And so every time we're talking about Thursday, we say like Saturday or whatever. We're all like confused, right? How many of you that have been coming to conferences like, wait, I got to get my head around this. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Not just my team, but y'all too, right? The meteor hit early. It's in the atmosphere. So, apparently, according to them, I said you guys are on at Thursday afternoon at 5. Today ain't Thursday. In fact, when they get here, if they got here tomorrow at 5, ain't nobody going to be here. Nobody. That would have been funny, though, huh? Yeah. So here's what we're going to do instead. What we're going to do instead is what I was going to teach tomorrow morning, I'm going to teach now, except for those of you who have Infusionsoft. We have an Infusionsoft breakout. So who's doing that? Dave, are you and Dana doing that? Dana's doing the Infusionsoft breakout. So, team, where's Michelle and Victoria? They left. The meteor's coming. They're getting out of town. Okay. They're in their car. They're like, okay. So, I need to find out what the plan is here, okay? But, because I think you guys are probably going to use this section, so I think we're going to have to reset the room or something like that. Or okay. Oh, perfect. Of course.
You know, I'm ready to go, but we can do that.
Once again, Howard got involved and, like, thank you. So we'll do that in the morning. Okay. So if you have Infusionsoft, well, everybody needs to be here at 8 o'clock sharp, because if you have Infusionsoft, you're going to have a special breakout with SMT. Perfect. And everybody else be in here at 8 o'clock. If you don't have Infusionsoft, so that we can share with you how to automate your sales and marketing. Okay? Perfect, perfect, perfect.